Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Watching the Zika story unfold is like watching the 10th sequel to an old movie. The particular characters might change, but the plot's the same. The elements are the same. And sometimes even the ending is the same. We start out with a virus that is discovered by somebody. Of course, that somebody didn't really discover the virus. Well, it might be new to them and the people they hang out with, but the virus was known and had been known for years, sometimes by a specialist, but other times by the people who were affected by it. So the virus was there and it caused sickness to one degree or another, but nobody really cared. Oftentimes these people were poor. They lived in remote areas. It only mattered when something caused the system to reach a tipping point. That part of the plot can differ. Sometimes the tipping point is the number of people affected and their proximity to those with money and influence. Other times it's a situation where the effects of the virus may cause problems in children. They need special care, and this can create a financial burden for societies. Also, if this happens to occur in an area that relies on tourism, and particularly and wants to attract young people having a good time, suddenly this virus becomes even more of a problem. All of these movies and sequels also have a villain. And the goal is to have a simple villain, a black hat villain. In the case of Zika and some other viruses, the villain is the mosquito. Because our movie is only so long, we need to dispatch with our villain as quickly as possible. So we don't think about ramifications. We just decide somehow we're going to eliminate all those pesky mosquitoes, and that is going to solve our problems. There are different ways to get rid of the mosquito villain. One of these is spraying or fogging with insecticides. Of course, these kill more than mosquitoes, including a lot of beneficial insects. And I don't think I would want to be a pregnant woman standing in my house when the fog rolled in. But it's cheap. And it makes officials who order such procedures look like they're actually doing something to solve the problem. That's one way to take care of the villain. And another variation on this theme, we do genetic manipulations, genetically engineered mosquitoes, so that we wipe out the species. This kind of search and destroy, King George and the Dragon approach is nice. It's nice and neat. You know, you get this feeling that the evil monster has been subdued. But life is more complicated than that. Nobody thinks about how come mosquitoes have survived so long if they're so useless and nothing but spreaders of disease. Well, it turns out that they're a very important part of the food web. Some of the animals that depend on mosquitoes for all or part of their food supply are dragonflies and damselflies, aquatic beetles and spiders. There's a Malaysian jumping spider that is just an expert at consuming mosquitoes, mosquito larvae. Some species of toad, species of frog, birds including purple martins, swallows, waterfowl, migrating songbirds. Even predatory mosquitoes who prey on other mosquitoes. And red-eared slider turtles. The fish would take a beating too. Goldfish, guppies, bass, bluegills, catfish, and also bats. None of them may depend completely on mosquitoes for their diet, but they're part of an integrated web. Predator-prey relationships are an excellent way to communicate information to other species. And sometimes that information may include protection from other more dangerous diseases. But, hey, this is only a 90-minute movie. Next, the World Health Organization comes in, and they start throwing money around. And most of it goes for research and the development of drugs and vaccines. The interesting thing about mosquito-borne diseases is that a lot of times, a big part of the problem is the lack of clean water and decent sewage systems. But you don't get elected, or you don't get re-elected by providing clean water. That's the kind of thing you leave up to organizations like Heifer International, or some of these small faith-based groups who don't show up with Bibles and try to convert people. They show up with shovels and hoes. Nobody talks about doing anything about poverty, or about poor health care, or poor education, or lack of education completely. That's not glamorous. We do just enough to satisfy ourselves that the problem is solved, or maybe the problem isn't solved, but it's superseded by another, even more serious, newly discovered virus. I don't know when the Zika story is going to end. I feel sorry for the little kids, for the little babies. I feel sorry for the compromised adults who encounter the virus and they have a rough time with it. But I also feel sorry for all those nameless individuals who for more than 60 years have succumbed to this virus and nobody gave a damn.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.